Blog Talk Radio. And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, May the 18th, and we have a really tight schedule for tonight's show, but we're going to try to get it all in for our listeners tonight. But first, let me welcome to the show our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay. Hello? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on with Jay. We have him in the queue. Jay, you might have your mute button on. Okay, we'll see. Jay, you may need to call, hang up and call back in. We'll go with that. But let me go ahead, and while he's doing that, we'll go ahead and go through the agenda for tonight. Our agenda for tonight is Jay and I are going to do the preview. In this first half hour, we will preview the Can-Am Pro Series West out at Orange Show Speedway. And at the end of that, we'll give you a quick update on the Can-Am East and their next event. And then we'll also talk during this first half hour about the Camping World Truck Series that will be racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend on Friday night. And before we close that out, we will give you an update on the Xfinity Series. At 9 o'clock, we have a guest, our first guest this season on Fan for Racing Radio for our Thursday night preview, and that's going to be Tyler Roehrig with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. He's making his debut this weekend at Toledo Speedway, and he's new to Mason Mitchell Motorsports and ARCA Racing, but he is not new to Toledo Speedway, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that because he is has won there a couple of times, and he's going to have that on his side, I think, as momentum coming into the Menards 200 there this Sunday. Now, that segment is going to be about 20 minutes long, and then we'll finish our ARCA Racing Series preview before 9:30. And during our 9:30 segment, Jay and I will preview the Monster Energy Open and the Monster Energy All-Star Race at Charlotte. And before we go tonight, we're also going to be talking about the new NASCAR Next Class that was just announced this week. A lot of great names in that list, and we'll go through them and make sure everybody is up to speed with the new NASCAR Next Class. So with that, we're going to try again and welcome M.J. Huseman to the show as co-host. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you, Sharon. I don't know what the problem there was, but I think I'm good now.
Okay, it sounds like we've got you now, so that's a good thing. Let's go ahead, and I've gone through the lineup for tonight. So let's go ahead and get into the Can-Am West race that's going to be at Orange Show Speedway this weekend. It's going to be Saturday, May the 20th. It starts at 8:15 Pacific time, which is about 11:15 Eastern time. So it's a late night for those on the West Coast. But folks can follow along at NASCAR Home Track's website. Their Race Central, powered by Speed 51, does a great job of keeping fans up to date with what's going on at the track. Now, it's also going to be aired on Friday, May the 26th, at 8 p.m. Eastern time on NBCSN. So make sure you set your DVRs to catch that race, because I'm pretty sure we're going to see some pretty good racing. This is a quarter-mile asphalt oval, Jay, and Chris Eggleston won there last year, and he's the defending winner going into the event this year.
That's right. And again, the Pro Series, their return to this track, the live previous race that they had there was back in 1978. So we don't have a whole lot of stats there, but as you mentioned, Eggleston was the last year's winner. So I do think it's going to be a good race.
I think so as well. And, you know, anytime they're racing on a quarter mile, it's going to be a good race. Chris Eggleston is the only other driver to have won so far this season as well. He won the season opener at Tucson Speedway in Arizona. And then after that, Todd Gilliland has taken every pole so far this season and has won the next four races. So he's got a lot to live up to this weekend as well, because he's already making history. But if he wins this weekend, he's going to make more history by tying the record held by, let me see if I can pull it up here. That record is held by, I had it here just a second ago, I want to say McGiff.
Herschel McGriff.
McGriff, okay. That record was held by Herschel McGriff. And Todd Gilliland has a chance to break that record this weekend. So it's definitely going to be worth checking out this race on Saturday night.
And that record's been intact since 1972.
Yes. So it's been a long-standing record that now 17-year-old NASCAR Next driver Todd Gilliland has a chance to break it. By the way, he was on our show, and I see all that info here now. He was on our show Monday night, and we were able to wish him a happy birthday Monday on the same day that he turned 17. And I'll tell you what, for a young guy, he is really making some waves in the Can-Am Pro Series.
And as you mentioned, I heard you say we're going to talk about the NASCAR Next group of selection at the end of the show, so we'll have more on him then.
Absolutely. Now, there's a lot of rookies that are going to be in this race as well. There's four rookies that are sitting in the top nine positions in the West standings. And Derek Krause from Stratford, Wisconsin, ranks third in those standings. He's closing in on his first win. He came in second at the last race that they had in Spokane. And he has three top five finishes through the first five events this season. He finished second at Spokane, as I mentioned, last weekend. And he's second. That was his second series runner-up finish. So he's one of the rookies to keep your eye on this weekend, along with Garrett Archer, who's fourth. He's just 3 points behind Krause with an identical stat line. He has three top fives and four top tens through the first five races. Will Rogers is sixth in the standings, with Cody Vanderwall sitting in ninth. So those are four rookies for you to definitely keep your eyes on this weekend at Orange Show.
And I really thought Krause had a chance at stopping Gilliland there. When we talked last week, I was recording him. It's recording that one. I'm sorry, that one will record tonight. Got bumped a little bit by hockey, but I'll get to watch that later tonight.
Absolutely. So fans will be able to catch that race on NBC Sports Network. We kind of touched a little bit on the history. The Orange Show Speedway has been in operation since 1947. The Can-Am Pro Series made its inaugural visit to that track in 1966 and held at least one race at the track every season through 1972 before returning in 78 for just one race. And then after 38 years, the Can-Am Pro Series rest returned back to Orange Show Speedway last season. But this is the series' 12th event all time at Orange Show Speedway. There's been six different drivers who've won, with Marvin Porter winning the inaugural event in 1966. Jack McCoy leads all drivers with four wins at Orange Show Speedway, including three from 69 to 71. Six different drivers have also earned poles at Orange Show Speedway, led by Jack McCoy with 3. And the record for the most cautions at Orange Show Speedway is 9, set in 2016, when 63 laps were run under a yellow flag. There's been an average of 2.7 lead changes at that track. So, again, something for folks to keep their eye on. One lap qualifying record, Ryan Partridge holds that, and he set that last May last year. The 150-lap race record is Johnny Anderson, 46 minutes, 19 seconds, and that was set back in July of 1971. So who are the drivers you think are, besides, we've mentioned Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland, besides those two drivers, who are the drivers to watch this weekend?
I think Julia Landauer. She was a rookie last year along with Todd Gilliland, finished second, I believe. I'm sorry, no. Where is Ray?
I think she was in the top 10, though.
Fifth, there we go. Because
okay.
The other one, she was the next one besides Eggleston and Gilliland, who were first and fourth. She was the next one that's fifth that has previously run that track.
Yes. So and Julia is kind of on a comeback. She had a slow start this season, but she's kind of on a comeback. She's had 3 consecutive top 10 finishes, including a 7th place finish at Spokane last weekend. Now last year. You're right. She finished 5th at Orange Show last season and her only career start at that track. So first time at the track, she finished 5th. So it'll be fun to see what she does this year on the second go-around there. And while we're talking about females, Nicole Behar is one to watch, too. She's driving the number 33. She's currently tied for 4th place in the West standings with 1 top 5 and 5 top 10s. In 5 starts this season. Her career best was a 2nd-place finish at Irwindale in 2015. She finished 10th in the final series standings in that season as well. And that's her last full-time season with the series.
Another one that I think is going to be a big factor is going to be Michael Self, driving the number 9, Sunrise Ford. That team, with Ryan Partridge last year, had the pole position. Starting up front, I think, is going to be a huge, huge factor in a short track like this.
Mm-hmm. It's going to mean a lot. And he missed the season opener, and he's now 11th in the point standings. He has 2 top 5s and 4 top 10s in just 4 starts. He has 6 K&N Pro Series West victories under his belt. So don't be surprised if Michael Self isn't a contender. If he is a contender, don't be surprised, I should say. Now, the other one, Derek Krause, so we mentioned him a little bit earlier. He made his debut at New Smyrna Speedway in the East, where he finished 3rd. He's 3rd in the point standings in the West. He has 3 top 5s and 4 top 10s, and his career best finished was 2nd at Kern County Raceway in March. He also finished 2nd last weekend at Spokane.
Yeah, I think he's another one that's on the move as he gets settled into the series, could make a big move. Again, it's really tough to picture anybody competing with Gilliland and then Eggleston running 2nd, so... You're relegated to 3rd right there.
Exactly right. Do you have a favorite for this weekend? Who's your favorite to win?
Like I said, I think I'm going to go with Julia Landauer. Again, she's also driving a Sunrise Ford number 6, and I think she's going to give them a run for their money.
Oh, that would be fantastic to see Julia in victory lane on Saturday night. But I don't know. I think Todd Gilliland's going to go after that victory. I know he felt his biggest competition was going to come from Chris Eggleston. And so Chris is certainly a driver who could win this race as well. But I'm going to put my vote behind Todd Gilliland. He's just been on a tear this season, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him get that fifth victory.
Absolutely not. It's just like roulette. You got to bet the streak, right?
You got to bet the streak. Exactly right. Okay, so let's talk about the K&N East because they're not racing this weekend, but I want to make sure everybody's up to date with when their next race is. Again, they're going to be racing the Memphis 125 at Memphis International Raceway on June 3rd. So definitely keep that on your calendar because that will be a big event to watch as well. As far as the point standings in that series right now, we have Harrison Burton is leading those point standings. Todd Gilliland, who's raced five starts, also in the K&N East, is second in those point standings, followed by Ruben Garcia and Chase Purdy. Now, three of those drivers were announced as part of the NASCAR Next program that we'll talk about later. So just to give you an idea, just to make that connection with where they're racing this season, they're doing really well in the K&N Pro Series East.
And as I mentioned
now,
last week, I'm super excited for that because I'll be there.
Yes, I think that will be exciting. I'm not sure if I can make it there yet or not, but I'm going to try to work my schedule around that. Now, I want to get to the Camping World Truck Series review before we run out of time. They are racing this Friday night at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the North Carolina Education Lottery 200. TV coverage is on Fox Sports 1 starting at 8 p.m. I expect the race to start sometime around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They're racing 201 miles for a total of 134 laps. Stage 1 will end on lap 40. Stage 2 ends on lap 80. The final stage, of course, on the last lap, which is 134. So, again, I always say that the best racing is in the Camping World Truck Series, and I don't think we're going to be disappointed this weekend as well. Kyle Busch won at Kansas Speedway, everybody knows he's a huge contender in every race he races in. He served his first win at Kansas Speedway came in 2014, and his next one is going to be this weekend. His next Cup Camping World Truck Series race is going to be this weekend. So Kyle Busch is racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He's been the Queen City King, winning six races and scoring eight top fives and nine top tens at that track.
And if you watch that, that was a heartbreaker if you're just an all-around fan, because you got a road warrior out there, Gore Sport Racing driver Ben Rhodes, with a stout performance in the Toyota 200-250 at Kansas, leading 25 laps in the race before engine issues derailed his chances at victory. The three laps after a restart on lap 139, Rhodes sustained a side-by-side battle against the best of the best, you know, Kyle Busch, and pulled ahead and stretched it out to as much as 1.4 seconds when his engine blew up and ended his night. Rhodes was frustrated as saying, "We ran the best tonight," you know, after the race.
Yes, and he did win the best with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch, in fact, after winning that race, would not do a burnout, would not do his traditional bow to the crowd, because he felt that that race was a gift to him. He felt that the winner of that race should have been Ben Rhodes, even though he had the problem with there was a lug nut that came loose and hit the radiator, and that's what ended Rhodes' night And it's really sad to see that happen to him. He said every time they get in a chance, an opportunity to win, something happens, and this certainly was an example of that. But I don't expect him to be too disappointed for too long. He's already thinking about this next race, and I think he's going to be a contender again at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
I think he's going to be a contender all the way through the end of the year.
I think you're right, Jay. Now, the other driver that to keep an eye on is John Hunter Nemechek. He scored his best finish at Kansas last season, and he finished third at Kansas. So when I say last season, I meant at Kansas, last week at Kansas. The finish was his second top five in the Camping World Truck Series this season. Right now he's 11th in the series point standings, and he's right on the bubble between being in or out of the playoffs for the Camping World Truck Series. So this is an important race for John Hunter Nemechek. He's got one career start at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and that was a top 15 finish by placing 12th last season. So definitely keep an eye on John Hunter Nemechek this weekend.
Now, I'm not sure what they're missing for this year. They made the top eight last year. He made the playoffs. As you said, he's sitting 16th. He's got a little bit of work to do to get into that top eight.
Mm-hmm. He does, but they consider that part of the bubble because that's going to shift back and forth between now and the regular season end and before the playoffs begin. Now, some quick facts about Charlotte Motor Speedway. There have been 14 races there. There's 8 different pole winners. The youngest pole winner was Ty Dillon. In May of 2012, he was 20 years, 2 months, and 21 days. The oldest pole winner, Mike Skinner. That was back in 2007, also in May. He was 49 years, 10 months, and 20 days. In 14 races, there's been 7 race winners. The youngest race winner, Kyle Busch, in May of 2005. He was 20 years, 18 days. And the oldest race winner, Ron Hornaday, Jr., in May of 2009, at 50 years, 10 months, and 25 days. An interesting stat here, races won from the pole, only 3 races have been won from the pole. So that's going to be interesting to see if there's a pole race winner this week. And then also the last race won from the pole was in 2015 when Casey Kane won the May race there. The race record is Matt Crafton, 141.855 miles per hour. That was in 2016, the May race. And the qualifying record held by Kyle Busch at 183.773 miles per hour in May of 2014. So just some stats to keep your eyes on this weekend to see if there are any records broken.
When you talk about with them running in Charlotte, you know, they consider that the series likes that. It's called considered a hometown track. There's been 102 total drivers that list North Carolina as their home state and have registered at least one start in the Camping World Truck Series. You go back to Dennis Setzer, an 18-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race winner from Newton, North Carolina, has the most starts from a North Carolinian with 314. Timothy Peters from Providence, North Carolina, leads all active drivers from the Carolina in the Camping World Truck Series, starts with 233. And there's currently 6 National Series drivers who have registered at least 20 Camping World Truck starts and list Carolina as their home state. As we mentioned, Timothy Peters, Austin Dillon has 69 from Welcome, North Carolina. John Hunter Nemechek has 56 from Mooresville, North Carolina. Ty Dillon, 54 from Welcome, North Carolina. Daniel Hemric moved on to the Xfinity. He's got 49. He's from Kannapolis, North Carolina. And William Byron as 24. He just did the one season, and he's from Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's right, and those stats are their starts at the track. And Matt Crafton from ThorSport Racing is hoping to go back-to-back at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. He won last year as well as in 2008, and he has 14 truck series starts at Charlotte. He owns multiple track records at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which we just talked about. He's got the most races. He having entered 14 races, he has 11 top tens, 13 lead lap finishes, and he's completed 1,866 laps at the track. He also owns kind of an interesting record at Charlotte with a minimum of 5 starts. Crafton has a DNF at Charlotte Motor Speedway and has never registered a DNF at Charlotte Motor Speedway in his 14 career starts. So he's always finished the race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I'm sure he's looking to do that again this weekend, Jay.
Yeah, that's an amazing stat, no matter what the track or how many starts you have. The one thing that's factoring into DNF stats is this year's with the crash clock. The 5-minute crash clock. So we'll see if that factors in. But there's also a couple of first-timers starting at Charlotte. 11 Camping World Truck Series drivers are making their track debut at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the North Carolina Education Lottery 200 this weekend on Friday. 7 Rookie of the Year contenders, which include Chase Briscoe, Austin Sindrick, Grant Infinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, and Kaz Grala. And there's 4 other Camping World Truck Series drivers that are making, like I said, their track debut at Charlotte, including Spencer Boyd, Austin Hill, Brett Moffitt, and Todd Peck.
Okay. Now, the Kyle Busch Motorsports owner, Kyle Busch, is a 2-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion. Matt Crafton, Justin Lofton, all won their first career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So it might be fun to see if there's any drivers this weekend that will be first-time winners at Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're running a little tight here, so we'll go ahead and close out the Camping World Truck Series preview here. Who's your favorite to win this weekend?
I think Matt Crafton. I think he can go door to door with Kyle Busch.
Okay, and I'm gonna vote for Ben Rhodes. I think he's gonna come back and really race with Kyle Busch and see if he can't get that victory that kind of slipped through his fingers last weekend at Kansas. So I'm going to put Ben Rhodes on my list.
Good pick.
Okay. Now, before we go, I want to make sure everybody knows when the next Xfinity Series race is. They are not racing this weekend. Their next race doesn't happen until May 27th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Hisense 4K TV 300 will take place on Saturday, May the 27th. Fox Sports 1 will carry the coverage starting at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and the race will start at 1 p.m. They'll be covering a distance of 300 miles over 200 laps, and we'll get more into the details of this race next week when we're previewing the following weekend of racing. So that's what's up here for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Now, our upcoming guest is Tyler Rorick. And Tyler is racing with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. He has an interesting backstory that I want to get into when he comes on here. He's won his last 2 starts at Toledo Speedway in the Glass City 200, which is a big outlaws race, late model outlaw race that took place at that same track last year. And I look for him to say have a strong run, even though it's his ARCA racing debut. I think he's going to run pretty well there this weekend. And I'm looking forward to talking with him. In fact, he's here now, so we're going to go ahead and bring him in the queue. Tyler Roehrig is, again, racing with Mason Mitchell Motorsports on Sunday. And he's racing in the Menards 200 at Toledo Speedway. Now, last week, Tyler, you were out doing some testing at Toledo Speedway with your team owner, Mason Mitchell. Talk a little bit. Well, first of all, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here. And then just talk a little bit about your testing last week at Toledo Speedway.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on. Appreciate it. But, yeah, last week on Friday, we went to Toledo, and Mason ran some laps in the car at first, you know, just to make sure everything was safe and sound before I got in it for my first time. And then, you know, I ran maybe like 60 laps or so. I'm not sure how many, but went really well. I was really happy with it. I think we had good speed and was really comfortable in the car. So I'm looking forward to Sunday for sure.
Okay. Now, you've won at Toledo Speedway. You're new to ARCA. You're new to Mason Mitchell Motorsports, but you're not new to Toledo Speedway. You won the Glass City 200 there last year in the late model Outlaw series. And it's going to be a little bit different, though, with the ARCA racing car. It's a lot heavier than your Outlaw car, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think the ARCA cars are 3,300 pounds without the driver, and the Outlaw car is like 2,700 with the driver, so pretty big difference there. And definitely affects, you know, the way they drive and the way they stop and everything. But, you know, they're both race cars, so the same techniques kind of apply to each of them. You just got to, you know, kind of fine-tune your style a little bit.
Okay, and you know, that's part of what your testing was helping you to do this week, last week at Toledo.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Last week at Toledo. Yeah, like I said, it went well, and you know, looking for a solid run this weekend. I don't want to say I expect to win or anything, but, you know, I definitely expect to run really, really good, you know? So, I mean, I guess I do kind of expect myself to win, but, I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. You know, I've just been really trying not to think about it too much, going into it. I just, you know, want to treat it like any other race I run, you know, just going with an open mind and, see what happens.
Okay. Well, we do have our co-host with us tonight as well, and that is MJ Huseman. And I know he has a couple questions he wants to ask as well.
All right. Thanks, Sharon. Tyler, I know you also have dirt track and sprint car experience, and we've seen some of the top guys in NASCAR have that same background. Do you feel that gives you an advantage moving into stock cars and onto asphalt, or is it a hindrance?
Well, you know, actually I've raced more pavement than I have dirt. I've ran a few dirt shows, a while back, but, primarily been on pavement for the last 5 years or so, but now I do try and drive a variety of cars, you know, sprint cars and, you know, late models, once in a while, a midget or, you know, pretty much anything I can get into. And I do think it helps me, you know, such as, you know, moving to the ARCA car just helps, you know, being versatile and just, you know, being open to, you know, having an open mind as, you know, the way the car is going to handle and, you know, how much different they're going to drive and, you know, pretty much just definitely helps just transitioning.
Okay, a follow-up question with that. When the car's not, you're not doing well in the car. Do you ask the crew chief to set the car up to the way you want to drive it, or do you address how you drive it to how the car is set up and running?
Well, you know, as far as for this weekend's race, I would say, you know, in practice and stuff, you would kind of rely on the crew chief more to make it do what you wanted, you know. And then once you get in the race, though, you know, you're pretty much, other than pit stops, you're pretty much on your own. So you have to, you know, just find a way to make it work if it's not exactly to your liking. And, you know, most of the races I run, there aren't any pit stops. They're like, you know, either like a 30-lap sprint car race or a 100-lap late model race. So, you know, in those races, you kind of just got to find a way to kind of take what you have and make the best of it.
Okay. And I read on ARCA.com the article talking about how the meeting with you getting this race set up for the opportunity to drive an ARCA. Did you specifically select Toledo as where you wanted to run based on your history and success there, or did it just happen to be that that was the one available?
Well, it kind of just happened to be that that was the one available, or one of the ones available, I guess. And, you know, I definitely wanted to go there instead of anywhere else. Just like I said, it's, you know, it's a track I got a lot of laps at and a lot of success at. So, just kind of, you know, kind of a coincidence in some ways, I guess, you know.
Well, hopefully that carries into the ARCA race this weekend. Sharon?
All right. Tyler, I want to get into the story that Jay was referring to there on how you and Mason Mitchell Motorsports kind of got together and pulled this together because it's kind of an interesting backstory.
Yeah. Really, the way it came about was I was in North Carolina with a family friend, Bob Blunt, who's, you know, pretty well known from Indiana, and he's well known in North Carolina. He used to live there, crew chief a lot of ARCA cars, actually. So I was down there with him last winter buying parts for my own race car, and we stopped at Mason's because Bob knew the crew chief, Kevin Reed, pretty well. And that's really what set this whole plan into motion. You know, we left there and got to talking on the way home about trying to make something happen to make my ARCA debut, and you know, the rest is kind of history, as they say.
but it's just kind of interesting how that all came together because you had no idea going on that trip for the car parts that you'd end up with a racing engagement with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Or did you go into it with that thought?
No, honestly, I had no idea that was going to happen, really. And really up until like 2 weeks ago, I still, at one point I thought this was off, and just a lot of things had to fall in place for it to happen. And, you know, about, you know, maybe 10 days ago or so, it was sounded like it was going to happen. And then, it was finalized. So, definitely a lot happened here in a short amount of time, and a lot of people came together. And I definitely have to thank, Mobile Tech Trailers, Jason Deitch Trailer Sales, and the Complete Printer for stepping up to make this happen for me.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk too about who your team is behind you. Of course, Mason Mitchell is the team owner. Is he going to be on the pit box for you, or is somebody else going to be being the crew chief?
Actually, Mason is going to be spotting for me, and so I'm looking forward to that. Having him in my ear with, you know, all the experience he has and the success he has had in ARCA. And also, Kevin Reed is the one that's going to be on the pit box. So, really have a lot of faith in him. I think we had a good test Friday at Toledo, and really easy to work with, and we were fast too. So, you know, that's all important.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like he gives you a lot of confidence going into this race. I'm going to go back to Jay, in case he has any other questions for you.
I do have one last one. I know your dad was also a driver and you managed to outrun him for a victory. Do you feel any pressure carrying on the family name, if you will, when it comes to racing?
Yeah, and no, I guess. Definitely want to make them proud. You know, that's an important thing to me, and I've been doing my best to carry it on. You know, I've been racing for 16 or 17 years now, so my dad's had a lot of success at Toledo, actually, and, you know, it's funny because when I first started racing there, I wasn't that good and really didn't always look forward to going there. And he was always really fast there, so it was kind of frustrating. You know, we would both go there, and he would always, you know, be with me. So, but after a few years, you know, he worked with me and really helped me out a lot there. So that made a huge difference, and so I definitely owe a lot of my success to my father.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and best of luck to you in your debut in the ARCA series.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Okay, now Sharon. I've got an. I want to do a little wrap up here before you go, Tyler. I know that this is not your only race this month. You're going to be racing in the Little 500. Is kind of at Anderson Speedway. Now, a year or so ago, you had a really bad accident there, and you weren't sure if you were ever going to be able to race again. Is that make it kind of emotional? That was in 2014, actually, that you had that accident. Does that make it emotional for you to go back there when you go back to that track?
I don't really think so. You know, I probably think about it sometimes, but try and just keep it out of my mind most of the time when I'm going there. I'm just, you know, focused on the same things as I'd be focused on if I was racing at, you know, any other track in the country. Just, you know, how to make the car go faster and how I can be better, you know. But I mean, from time to time I do think about it and think about why I always go back there. But you know, I enjoy racing there, so I guess that's probably the main reason I keep going back.
Well, that's a good reason to keep going back. And then the other question I had for you is, you've got this deal for this weekend. Is this just one time this season, or do you have other events that are potentially on the list for the remainder of the season?
As of now, it's my only race in the ARC series for the year. You know, it's expensive to do this stuff, so I have to see what I can see how this weekend goes, and then, you know, maybe try and work something out, do some other races. But I mean, I definitely want to do more races. It's, you know, just a matter of everything falling into place to make it happen, you know.
Exactly. And we know how difficult that can be sometimes. So, and then fans always want to be able to know how to follow the guests that come on to the show. So if you can, you give us your social media handles or websites, ways that fans can follow along and know what's happening with you next.
Sure. I'm on Facebook, just Tyler Rohrig on Facebook, and on Twitter, my handle is @TheRocket24.
Okay. So definitely give Tyler a follow. It's a big weekend this weekend at Toledo Speedway for the Menards 200 that will be taking place May 21st, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. That race is going to be on Fox Sports 1, so fans will be able to see it on television. And then, of course, ArcaRacing.com always has live timing and scoring available, along with their chat room as well. So, Tyler, who do you see as your biggest competition this weekend?
Biggest competition this weekend. I don't know, maybe myself. I'm just making sure I don't screw anything up, I guess. You know, I haven't done pit stops in a while, so that's I want to say it's new, but it's kind of new. So just don't – I just want to have a good, solid, smooth race, you know, not tear anything up. And I'm sure if we're around at the end, we'll have a shot at winning.
Okay. I like the confidence, and I know you're with a great team with Mason Mitchell Motorsports, and you've got great people behind you with Mason and your crew chief, Kevin Reed. Are there any other people that you want to make sure you shout out before we let you go?
Just, you know, my family and my dad and Bob Blunt for making this happen, and I already said Bubble Tech and Jason Deese Trailer Sales and the Complete Printer, they stepped up huge to help me out for this weekend, so I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tyler, we wish you the best this weekend at Toledo Speedway, and you know, we have a winner's circle every Monday night on our show, so if you win this weekend, we'd love to have you come back to for our winner's circle, okay?
Awesome. I'd love to be back on Monday night, though.
Okay. And if not, then we'll look to see if we can't tap you on the shoulder somewhere else down the road, okay?
Sure, I'd love to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Take care, Tyler, and have fun this weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. All right, that was Tyler Roerig, and he is racing with Mason Mitchell Motorsports in the number 78 this weekend at Toledo Speedway in the Menards 200 for the ARCA Racing Series. I thought it was a great interview with Tyler.
Absolutely. You know, you can tell he's a little jittery, but the confidence he has, you know, he says, I don't want to put expectations on myself, but yeah, I think I'm going to win.
Yeah, I think, well, he has a lot of experience at that track, and that certainly works in his favor. The biggest adjustment, as we've mentioned in the articles that are on Fanfa Racing and ArcaRacing.com, is that there's a weight difference in the cars. He mentioned the pit stops are going to be a little bit of a difference for him. But it sounds like after testing and after working with Mason Mitchell this weekend, he does have a lot of confidence going into the race this weekend.
As he should. I mean, with him and his coach, and as you mentioned, learning from his dad, who also has a history there, I think he's going to be in good shape.
I do, too. So, again, fans are definitely going to want to tune in. That's the May the 21st, Saturday. Wait a second, that's not Saturday, that's Sunday. May 21st, Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's going to be on Fox Sports 1, so you'll be able to watch it on TV, as well as the live timing and scoring. Who are the other drivers you think we should keep an eye on this weekend in that Menards 200 at Toledo?
Oh, there is several of them. You have a couple others that are making their ARCA debut. Natalie Decker in the 25 from Eagle River,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, driving for Venturini Motorsports. I think she's going to be one to keep an eye on.
Also, Thad Moffitt is going to be racing this weekend in the number 46 car. A lot of people are familiar with Brett Moffitt. Well, this is younger brother Thad, so another driver to keep your eye on. And the most recent winner in the ARCA Racing Series, Chad Finley, another driver. He'll be in that 51 car this weekend as well, so another driver to keep your eye on.
And then, of course, you have your top guys, Dalton Sargeant and Austin Terrio. Look up Dalton Sargeant here. He's only got the one start at Toledo in the ARCA series, but it was a top five. So I think that bodes well for him.
Absolutely. And another point to keep in mind is several of the NASCAR Next drivers, the new class, are going to be driving this weekend in the ARCA Racing Series. You've got Riley Herbst will be in the number 18 car. You've got Harrison Burton in the number 28 car this weekend. Also, let me go down the list here. I saw some others. Zane Smith in the number 55 car this weekend. Dalton Sargeant is a former NASCAR Next driver. You mentioned him. He'll be in the number 77 car this weekend for Cunningham Motorsports.
Yep, that's right.
And Christian Eckes is going to be also with Venturini Motorsports. He's in the number 15 car this weekend. He's had some success, so I look for him to have a good race this weekend.
Well, and another one I've been keeping my eye on is Gus Dean. Again, he came off kind of a slow start, but he's moving up. He's up to six in the points with one top five and two top tens. So we'll see how he fares.
Yes, and Gus Dean will be in that number 32 car this weekend. It will be fun to see how he does. Another driver we've been watching this season, Brett Holmes in the number 23 car. We had him on earlier this year, along with Gus Dean, by the way. I look for him to have a good race this weekend as well. Also from Cunningham Motorsports in the number 22 car is going to be Shane Lee.
Oh, okay. I hadn't noticed that he was in it. Up there. He's second in points.
He's second in the points. So, again, he's the driver to keep your eye on this weekend for sure. Okay. Do you have a race winner? Go ahead.
I was going to say we got to talk there about the 52 for Ken Schrader Racing, Austin Terrio as the points leader. He's the only one now that has gone four top fives and four starts with the one win. The next two in points only have three and two top fives. So
that's right. Austin will be in the number 52 car with Ken Schrader as his team owner. So I'm really happy for Austin Terrio and the season that he's having so far here in the ARCA Racing Series. I think that's really good for him. But he's going to have some tough competition, I think, this weekend.
Most certainly. There is a lot of names as you go up and down this. Like we mentioned, a couple of them making their first start. I think it's going to be one heck of a race.
I do, too. And let's not forget about Tyler Dipple in the number 33 car with Windtron Racing. He's another contender this weekend. Or A.J. Fike in the number 27 car. He's up there moving up in the series point standings as well. All right. Do you have a favorite to win this weekend?
I'm going to go with Dalton Sargeant. It's up his second win of the year.
You know, Dalton is a great pick. I actually was thinking of Dalton Sargeant as well. But another driver, I don't know, I'm so torn here because I want to go with Tyler Roerig, our guest for tonight, because he has so much confidence and has so much experience at that track. I definitely see him as a contender. I'm going to go ahead and put my vote in for Tyler.
And like we talked about and he mentioned, with the experience and success he has at that track and the experience that he has behind him that's helping him learn, that's certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. Definitely looking forward to watching this race this weekend. Again, it's Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1 o'clock Central. That would be, 11 o'clock Pacific time. And you can watch it on Fox Sports 1. So if you're not able to watch it at that time, set that DVR because this is going to be a great race to watch. We've got a few minutes here, and since I'm going to kind of push this up a little bit, let's talk about the NASCAR Next Class, because there are quite a few drivers that we've been talking about here tonight that are on that list of drivers that are the new class of the NASCAR Next. And NASCAR Next has been in existence now, I think they said this is the seventh year, and the drivers that were selected for this year's 2017-2018 NASCAR Next class include Harrison Burton, who's been racing in the Can-Am Pro Series West. Also, Chase Cabre, he's been racing in the Can-Am Pro Series East. He's the son of NBC analyst Jeff Burton, who was a former NASCAR Cup Series driver. Then next is Chase Cabre. He's driving with Rev Racing this season as part of the Drive for Diversity program. Again, he's racing the Can-Am East and has been having a fairly decent season. Haley Deegan is also on this list. She's only 15 years old. She made a name for herself in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series and is the daughter of the FMX legend Brian Deegan. She became the first female to reach the podium in series history in that series, and was the 2016 Modified Kart Champion in the Lucas Oil Off-Racing Series. And she was also named the Lucas Oil Road Driver of the Year. So at 15 years, she's 15 years of age, she has quite a backing there. So why don't you take the next three?
Hey, give me the easy one, right? Everybody knows we've been talking about Todd Gill and son of former Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series driver David Gillen, making quite a name for himself in the sports history books. He's now 17-year-old from Sherrills Ford, North Carolina. Has 12 wins in 30 Can-Am Pro Series between the East and the West. Starts and is the youngest champion in NASCAR National or Touring Series history last year when he took home the Pro Series West Championship, and he's going after both this year. So, and then we mentioned starting in the ARCA Series in the 18 NOS Energy car is Riley Herbst. He's 18-year-old from Las Vegas, Nevada, coming off a successful rookie season in the Can-Am Pro Series West. In 14 starts last year, he had compiled 7 top fives and 10 top 10 finishes. Next, we have Caden Lapidowicz. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I tried to listen. Yeah, I tried to listen because they had him on NASCAR Race Hub. I was trying to listen and make sure I could catch all their names. No, he's a... only the third Canadian-born driver to be chosen for the program. He's a 17-year-old from Grimsby, Ontario. Won 3 times in 2016 en route to becoming the youngest NASCAR Pinty Series champion, and briefly held the title as the youngest NASCAR champion before being dethroned by Gilland, as we mentioned. He's the first driver in Pinty Series history to earn both the Jostin Rookie of the Year honor and the series title in the same year.
Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment for Caden. Ty Majeski is next on this list. He's a Roush Fenway Racing development driver. He's one of the country's top super late model drivers. He's only 22 years old from Seymour, Wisconsin, and he kicked off his 2016 winning super late model championship at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna Speedway. He continued his success in the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series with a third-place finish in the national standings on the strength of 14 wins, 21 top fives, and 26 starts. He's making his Xfinity Series debut at Iowa Speedway on June 24th. Ty Majeski has just had all kinds of success, and I was really happy to see him on this list. Another name some will be familiar with is Chase Purdy. He's been a contender most recently in the Can-Am East and West, and he's also the 2016 NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series Rookie of the Year. And he took home both the Rookie of the Year and the track championship at South Carolina's Greenville Pickens Speedway in the weekly touring series there. He's a 17-year-old from Meridian, Mississippi. He's chasing another rookie title this year, competing in the Can-Am East. Another driver that's familiar to Fanf Racing is Zane Smith. He's from Huntington Beach, California. He broke on the national scene in 2015 when he won the Super Late Model Championship at New Smyrna's World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. He tops off his season with a runner-up finish in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. When he finished runner-up to the Cup Series and NASCAR Next alum Chase Elliott at the Snowball Derby. And a lot of you will remember when Eric Jones did that with Kyle Busch a few years ago. He beat Kyle Busch in the Snowball Derby, and that's when Kyle Busch took note and decided to hire Eric Jones as part of Kyle Busch Motorsports, and his career just has taken off from there. So great things happen to drivers at this Snowball Derby that happens every December. We've seen a lot of drivers come from this NASCAR Next program, and we've mentioned some of them. There's also drivers like Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Corey LaJoie, Greg Alding. You've got, we mentioned several, Kyle Larson has come from this program, as well as Chase Elliott. There's just a lot of success. These are the drivers that NASCAR has designated as the future stars in the sport. And these guys are already stars of their own accord in each of the series that they represent. But they are certainly future stars coming into NASCAR as well. So it's going to be fun to see what they do as their seasons progress in their respective series.
And for fans to understand the numbers when you're talking about that, as you said, its inception was in 2011. 36 of the 46 drivers that have been selected for the program have progressed to compete in one of NASCAR's top three national series, with more than a quarter having gone all the way to the top to compete in the Monster Energy Cup Series. And 12 of the NASCAR Next drivers have won a NASCAR National Series race.
I know. Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing. So NASCAR's got a pretty good eye for this, and they take only the top-performing drivers. Performance is a big deal to be part of the NASCAR Next program. So all of these guys and gal, there's a gal here that's pretty successful, all of these drivers have, as I mentioned before, success in their own right. And it's been duly noted by NASCAR. And we send our congratulations to this entire NASCAR Next class. We're really proud of each and every one of them, and we look forward to many, many years of watching them on the track. So with that, we'll go ahead and move into our Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series preview. We're going to the All-Star race this weekend, Jay, and it's also going to be at Charlotte Motor Speedway Saturday, May the 20th. It's going to start with the Monster Energy Open that starts at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and then when that's over, then around 7 o'clock p.m. is when, or let's say 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time is when the All-Star race will begin. And that will be televised on Fox Sports 1. They'll be racing a total distance of 105 miles, or a total 70 laps on the track. There are four stages to this All-Star race, three stages to the Monster Energy Open. They'll start with 20 laps, 20 laps, and then 10 laps in the Open. And then it's 20 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and 10 laps again in the final stage. That's going to be really amazing to watch this weekend.
Yeah, the All-Star race is always a great show, and I was looking for my tire notes. Can't seem to find it at the moment, but the fact that they put the twist with the option tire and the softer tire is going to make it even that more.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'm going to go ahead and get into this part. Let's start with the Monster Energy Open. It's this Saturday, as we mentioned. They'll have 20 laps, and the final segment is just 10 laps. The winner of each stage is going to earn a spot in the All-Star race, and the Monster Energy Open field will be set by two rounds of traditional knockout qualifying. So they'll go through the regular knockout qualifying that we're familiar with, but just keep in mind it's a little bit different because it's the winner of the first stage, the winner of the second stage, and, of course, the winner of the last stage. Those drivers will each earn a spot in the All-Star race. Plus, we've got the fan vote, that will determine another driver that will advance to the All-Star race.
And that, based on last year, if you recall, it was Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson. He's already in this year's. They put on one heck of a show. The Open might have actually almost competed with the main event because the Open was an extremely good race.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed it is. And as far as the entry list, the drivers that are competing in the Open, some of those drivers will include, let me see if I can get the list here, the Open entry list. The drivers that will be competing in the Open are those drivers that did not qualify to compete in the All-Star race. So all of these drivers want to earn a spot into that All-Star race by winning one of the segments in the All-Star Open. Drivers that will be competing include Austin Dillon, Trevor Bayne, Danica Patrick, Ty Dillon, Clint Bowyer. Do you have the list in front of you, Jay?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, why don't you take the next five?
Okay, Clint Bowyer, then Reed Sorensen in the 15 for Premium Motorsports, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, and Paul Bernard.
Okay, great. You skipped Greg Alding in there. Greg Alding is also going to be in that race for BK Racing. The next five are Paul Menard, Matt DiBenedetto, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Landon Castle, and then David Reagan will be in the number 38 car this weekend for Front Row Motorsports.
And the next five, unfortunately, as we had talked about, the 43 for Richard Petty Motorsports, Eric Almirola will not be competing. They named Regan Smith as a fill-in driver. Has becoming what they're calling the super sub. AJ Allmendinger, Cody Ware in the 51 for Rick Ware Racing, Derek Cope in the premium motorsports. And Carl Long, again, attempting in the 66 car.
Okay, and then the final drivers are Cole Witt, Eric Jones, Corey LaJoy, and Michael McDowell. Now, as you look at this list, which driver do you think has the best chance of being voted in into the fan vote?
Voted in as the fan vote? If he doesn't
mm-hmm.
make it via racing in, I'm going to say Clint
mm-hmm.
Bowyer, because if you follow my Twitter feed, I have been pushing extremely hard and retweeting everybody else's tweet that's been behind Clint Bowyer. So if he doesn't race his way in, which I think is a great possibility, I think we got Clint Bowyer covered.
Well, another driver that I've heard a lot of talk about, because he's had a big presence on social media, looking for the fan vote, and we know that that makes a huge difference with fans. Matt DiBenedetto in the number 32 car for Go Fast Racing. A lot of people seem to think that he could be the driver that's voted in this weekend, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I don't.
You know what? And I just noticed that, and he's one that has always been a favorite of mine as well. It's one of those of, I really believe Clint can race his way in, especially the way he's been running this year. He's good at that track. So if he races his way in, I do think Matt DiBenedetto will come be one of the next top guys. I think he might have started his campaign a little late, though.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But one driver that has been voted in before by the fans is Danica Patrick. So the question is whether or not she can be voted in again this season. There's a lot of drivers that I think have a great chance of racing their way in. And I think it's going to be a pretty tough competition when you think of drivers like Clint Bowyer and Eric Jones being on this list, A.J. Allmendinger. There's a Chase Elliott. There's a lot of drivers here, Daniel Suarez, that are going to be going after winning those race stages or the last segment, which is a 10-lap shootout, to be a part of the All-Star race later on that night.
Going back to last year's race, again, Chase Elliott unfortunately didn't pick up a win, so I think he is one that races his way in one of the segments. Ryan Blaney and Clint Bowyer and Trevor Bain, because Bain also raced his way through one of the segments last year. And again, you only got three, and that right there was five that I feel bad for somebody.
Yeah, I know. There's going to be somebody that's going to be disappointed this weekend, without a doubt, because there's so many great drivers that could win either the stages or the last 10-lap shootout. And that 10-lap shootout is going to be, I think, an incredible race to watch. So it's do not miss racing this weekend for that showdown, or I still call it the showdown. It's now called the Monster Energy Open that will be taking place at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch all of this on Fox Sports 1. And again, it's do not miss racing. Now let's go to the All-Star race because I want to look at the entry list there as well. There's quite a few drivers on this list. These are the drivers that are qualified. Again, we'll do it by five. The top five include Jamie McMurray, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Kasey Kahne, and Denny Hamlin.
Okay, your list must be by car number.
It's by car number, yeah.
Okay, I have a different list. Mine goes by how they were eligible. You say Kasey Kahne.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and go through the list here then. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, and Joey Logano, along with Ryan Newman, round out the top 10. Then you have Chris Buescher, Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr., and Dale Jr. That represents 16 drivers that are already qualified to race in the All-Star race on Saturday night. Now, again, there'll be three drivers that come up from the Monster Energy Open, and there'll be a fourth driver that will be voted in by the fans. So that will make it a 20-car entry list for the race this Saturday night.
And again, that'll make it an exciting 20-car field. Whittling down to that 10-lap or 10-car final shootout.
Yeah, what I think is so interesting about this, though, is the first three stages, the 20, 20, and 20, the winners of each of those stages get an automatic. There's only 10 drivers that are going to advance to the final 10 laps. So it's only going to be 10 drivers racing in those last 10 laps of the All-Star race. So the stage winners on the lead lap of the lead lap of the third stage and drivers with the best average finish in the first three stages. So they're going to be looking at average finish to determine the rest of the drivers. So three of the drivers will be the stage winners, and then the remainder of the drivers, the next seven drivers, will be based on their best average finish in those first three stages. So these drivers are not going to be laying back, and I like that concept. I'll never forget watching one of these All-Star races when Jimmy Johnson won the first stage and ended up riding in the back of the field for the entire rest of the night. And I felt like fans of his were cheated of watching him get out there and race. And in this case, I don't think we're going to see that. These drivers want to have a good average finish so they can be the 10 drivers that are racing in those final 10 laps of the All-Star race.
Right. We've seen fan reaction to that before. Was it last year's Talladega race where some drivers did that? And, yeah, the negative feedback on that, I don't think you'll be seeing that again in any race.
Yeah, especially when you consider how much money the fans pay to go to these races. They don't want to go and watch their driver right around the back of the field. They want to go and watch these drivers race the race. And I'm glad that NASCAR is doing this. Now, pit road is going to be open for the final stage. So the starting position for that last stage for those 10 drivers is going to be determined on how the drivers exit the pit road. So that's going to be kind of an important part of this as well. And you brought this up earlier about the one set of softer tires for use during the All-Star race. Teams that use those tires for the final stages will start behind the teams that use their primary tires. So that's kind of a different little caveat to this year's All-Star race.
Yeah, and like I say, I apologize, I cannot find. I had pulled some notes on that of what is expected from that tire, the difference with it. It is one of the, and I don't know the proper term, but the harder inside portion of the tire with a little bit softer on the outside. And then again, they go even softer with that option tire. And if fans are watching and can see it, the option tire has green lettering. And the yellow will be what is considered the prime tire. And yeah, they'll only have the one set. Yes.
Okay, and so what NASCAR is doing by putting this into the All-Star race is they want this to be a strategy race that involves the crew chief and the team. So the tire guys, the tire specialists, they're all looking and crunching those numbers to figure out their strategy for this race on Saturday night. And this is going to be part of the strategy that's played out. And you're going to see, hopefully you're going to see different strategies played out on Saturday night in this race. And, you know, this is a great chance too, Jay, for a lot of these times, drivers to kind of test out their cars for racing the 600 later on this month.
You know, that was brought up on Race Hub, and that kind of used to be. They said, you know, with the one, the amount of money that's on the line now, the $1 million on the line, and the fact that they've chopped it into the stages and segments like that, you know, you're not going to find that much in a 20-lap run of what your car is going to do long-term
over 150,
for the 600.
Right.
So they said that, you know, you still test some things, but it's not like it used to be where that was the primary goal of the All-Star race, was to kind of shake down your car.
That's right. And that's true, but I still think that there's going to be little tidbits that they'll be able to pick up here and there. And I do think that part of this tire strategy is part of that as well, even though it's just 20 laps. It's kind of like when they're testing. A lot of times they'll learn what the tire will do over those 20 laps and go from there. Now, the All-Star field does consist of the 2016 and 17 Cup Series Championship race winners, past All-Star winners, past Cup Series champions, And then, of course, the fan vote and the winners of the three stages in the Monster Energy Open. So that's what this All-Star Race is all about. There are what's kind of interesting on this is this is a non-points-paying race, I believe. The drivers are not going to earn points, but they will earn toward their average finish, and they will earn toward being the last 10 cars in that 10-lap shootout at the end of the race.
That's right. That's what's always made this race special. You ask drivers, it's a matter of it's all about that win, all about the trophy, all about the money. There was I believe it was on Kevin Harvick's show on SiriusXM. He asked that question, and I was one that replied to it following last weekend's incident with Eric Almirola. You know, the drivers used to call it a checkers or wreckers race. You know, and I noticed that a lot of fans chimed in, and it's still that mentality of it's all or nothing, you know, for that win.
Yeah, and when you're talking about $1 million, yeah, they're going all out. And they've prepared their cars specifically for this race, and these drivers are out there to win it so that they can be in it for those last 10 laps. And I'm telling you, they're going to go after it. The 10 active Monster Energy Cup drivers that have won the All-Star Race and taken home that $1 million, leading the pack is Jimmy Johnson. He's got a record 4 All-Star Race victories. But the other past winners include Joey Logano in 2016, Denny Hamlin 2015, Jamie McMurray in 2014, Kurt Busch in 2010, Casey Kane in 2008, Kevin Harvick 2007, Matt Kenseth in 2003, Ryan Newman in 2002, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 2000. 6 drivers who have already qualified for the All-Star Race and will search for their first win in the event include Kyle Busch, Chris Buescher, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And I got to tell you, Jay, I think it's going to be a first-time winner on Saturday night.
I can't argue with that.
It's going to be fun to see, but one of the drivers that's going to be racing this weekend is Ryan Blaney. He's not in the All-Star race, so he's going to have to race his way in there. But I see him as one of the people that could contend to win in that open.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think he is one of the ones that most certainly could at least advance from the open into the main event. And Once you get in the main event, you know, anything goes.
That's very true. I think it's going to be a first time winner this weekend, but they're going to have to get through drivers like Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick, and some of these big name drivers like Joey Logano and these other drivers as well. There's Denny Hamlin. Is one of the favorites that I've heard for Saturday night. Who are the drivers you think are the top drivers to watch? Pick three. Top 3 drivers to watch.
Okay. Again, I'm going to have to go with Clint Bowyer because I think he's going to get in via the open, whether it be winning one of the stages or a fan vote. 2 then out of the ones that are already qualified. The 1.5 miles, I'm going to have to go with Martin Truex and Brad Keselowski. You know, Joey got his last year for Penske. I think Brad maybe wants to even that up.
Yeah, those would be my picks as well. Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, and I'm kind of struggling between Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson. So I'm going to put them in one group. The Kyles is my third pick.
Okay.
because I think both of those drivers are certainly going to be drivers to watch. And those are all drivers looking for a first-time win. And that's why I feel so strongly that we're going to see a first-time winner on Saturday night. If you do you have a dark horse pick?
Based on last year, unfortunately, this year hasn't been as good. Again, if Chase Elliott happens to work his way in through the open, I think he's one that could come from the open and win it.
Okay, that's a good pick. I like the idea of Chase Elliott. He's a good hard racer, and I'd say Eric Jones could be a driver in that same category if he's able to race his way in. I would see Eric Jones as a very strong contender and a possible dark horse. My overall race winner pick, I'm going to say it first because when I don't say it first, you pick it. So I'm going to go first this time. Martin Truex Jr. is my race winner pick for Saturday night.
I think I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski.
Okay, that's a good pick.
My hope is that Clint Bowyer's got his car and, like I said, races his way in so he doesn't get the fan vote or need the fan vote, and then maybe Matt DiBenedetto can get in. But yeah, strongest that's already in there, I'd have to go with. That's right. It's been done before.
It has been done before. I remember Casey Kane doing that. He was voted in by the fan vote, and then he went on to win the race. So, and we've seen him win the what used to be known as the Showdown, now known as the Open. We've seen people win the Open and go on and win too. So I think it's definitely going to be worth the watch on Saturday night on Fox Sports 1. The All-Star Race never disappoints because these drivers are not holding back anything. They're out there to win these segments. Each of the stages and the 10-lap shootout in both of these races, I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
And again, with that option tire, crew chiefs are pulling their hair out. If they got any hair left,
yeah.
And Friday's practice is going to be huge because they do get one set of tires for practice as well, so that they have an idea of what it will do, so they can decide when to put it on during the All-Star event.
Yes, and it's not just the crew chiefs. It's going to be the tire specialist for these teams too. These guys are really racking their brains on how they're going to get the most out of these tires this weekend and what they're looking for as a result of racing this weekend on these tires. So it's going to be a strategy race without a doubt. And I think it's going to be fun. I like this setup. It's one of the best setups I think they've had in quite a while in the All-Star race. And I particularly like the 10-lap shootout and only 10 drivers competing in that 10-lap shootout in the All-Star race. I think it's going to make for some highlight reels, I think, for years to come. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I know. With watching stuff throughout the week, when it comes to highlight reels, there's a lot to live up to, but I think you might be right. The pass in the grass, you had Davey Allison being spun across into victory lane. So there's definitely been some big highlights. And you mentioned we're talking about first-time winners. You know, Michael Waltrip winning for the Wood Brothers. I'm sure you remember that. You know, that was one of those – it didn't matter who you were. That was a feel-good moment for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And people like that. That's why I think it would be good to see a first-time winner in this All-Star race, too. It's a big deal when you win a big event like this for the first time. And everybody's happy for you when that happens. Well, we're coming down here to the last couple of minutes of the show, Jay. And I know we've been working on an Earnhardt article here coming from you sometime soon.
Yes, again, I had a lot of stuff going on in the past week or two. I had been doing one a week. I fell a little bit behind. I will get that one out and got a couple more ideas for the next ones. Kind of waiting to see how the next 2 weeks go because that's going to kind of shake up the points, and that kind of is where my target is. So we'll see how things come out of the Charlotte weeks here.
Okay. Well, I think definitely look for MJ Huseman on social media. I know you're on Facebook as well as Twitter. If you want to put out your handles there.
That's right. I think the last time we talked about that, I had my Twitter account locked up. I fixed that problem. It's MoparMJ8. And yeah, absolutely. If you want to follow me on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram as MoparMJ8 as well.
Okay. So definitely give Michael MJ, I'm sorry, J. MJ Huseman a follow. My mind's going in 20 different directions here. I apologize. And we thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show. And I can't wait for this weekend of racing. I know it's going to be pretty darned exciting with the K&N West at Orange Show, with ARCA Racing at Toledo, and with both the Camping World Truck Series and the Monster Energy guys, the Cup Series racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Big weekend of racing, going to be a lot of fun. Do not miss a moment.
That's right. I think come Monday, when you and Sal do your Monday review show, that's going to be jam-packed as well, again, because there's so much exciting racing going on this weekend.
There really is. And we're going to try to have the winner of both the ARCA Racing Series as well as the K&N West race on the show Monday night. So definitely look for that, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on our NASCAR and Race Talk review. And then Jay, MJ, and I will all be back here on next Thursday night for the preview of the Charlotte races, both the Xfinity and the Cup Series races at Charlotte Motor Speedway the next weekend.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking to you then.
All right, Michael. Enjoy your race weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Good night, everyone.